Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to have to work up my excitement level a little bit. I didn't realize we were coming on all amped up, baby.
You know it is, because you know why I'm so amped up? Do you know why, Mr. Thiel?
I think I know. I think it might be about some pretty exciting news that got released very recently.
Woo! I got chills. They're multiplying. Let me tell everyone here, for those that are probably already on Facebook and probably already heard the feed, welcome home, I must say. Welcome home, you wall-crawling crazy man. Web-slinging man of the hour. Spider-Man has come back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The wall-crawler has come home finally. 15 years he's been on a sabbatical with Sony Pictures. Sony has said, you know what? We've done a bang-up crap job of jacking up this franchise. I think we should give it back to the pros. Now, don't get me wrong. When Raimi's version was Spider-Man back in the day of 2001 was breathtaking. And as a child, I sat there. I was, let me see, how old was I? Let me go back in time. Back in time I go. I think I was, hold on. I was 13 years old when Spider-Man came out on the big screen, the silver screen, and I, as a Spider-Man fan, was so excited to see my hero swinging with a not-so-good actress named Kristen Dunst.
Yeah, you know, Scotty, that's a pretty formative year to see your comic book hero. Because, you know, before that, if you think about it, before that, that was the first like modern day film iteration of Spidey in forever. So at that age, that's a cool age, man. When you're 13, stuff like that is cool. So that was a pretty cool year,
man.
Despite the fact that Kirsten
was
in it.
It was. And you know, America needed it.
Yeah.
Spider-Man came out in 2002. Forgive me. It came out in 2002 because it was going to come out in 2001 because of the tragic, devastating event that took place in our American history. They pushed it to 2002 because they actually had to reshoot some scenes because there was a scene Spider-Man, you can actually Google it and see the clip where Spider-Man catches some thugs with a giant web between the Twin Towers. And
he's
actually going to be fighting the Green Goblin through the Twin Towers, and there's going to be explosions and stuff. So they actually had to go back in the editing lab and do some reshoots as well. And in 2002 was released, and we really, you know, America needed it. America needed a hero, and I think Spider-Man, I'll really say Spider-Man launched this superhero epidemic, for lack of a better terminology, of pandemonium of what we see here. If it wasn't for Sam Raimi bringing Spider-Man to the silver screen, I really don't believe we would have Iron Man and Captain America back, and all these characters.
And not just Marvel, but DC as well. I mean, you know, I never really thought about that, and I guess I'd forgotten about it, that here is this superhero. And that, again, like you said, he was pretty much the the catapult that sent superhero films into, you know, where we're at now, where they're getting nominated for Oscars. But if you think about that, the timing that it was released, and like you said, the fact that they had to move it because they had some reshooting to do and some editing to do. But, you know, Spidey has always protected New York. So how much could we have needed him more? Great point.
Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt. I didn't even realize that until you said it.
No, hey, we're co-hosting, buddy. We're together. Together forever. Anyway, so I'm just hyped, okay? Because it's been 15 years since Spider-Man has been – and now don't get me wrong, because people are going to go – we're probably going to get some hate mail. And they're going to go, wait a minute. Spider-Man wasn't the one that launched everything in the comic book world. And because they're going to say, well, what about Tim Burton's Batman? And what about and Christopher Reeve's is Superman? And what about Wesley Snipes' Blade? And let me break it down to you guys here. Can I go down? Let's break it down a little bit. First off, a lot of people had no clue that Blade was a Marvel movie. That was actually a rated R. Actually, Marvel's, I think, next to Howard the Duck, it was Marvel's first, you know, dark, you know, was a rated R film for Marvel. And I think Screen Gem was the one that produced it as well. So a lot of people had no clue Blade was a superhero. And they portrayed Blade not as a superhero, he's just a vampire hunter. They didn't give him more of a superhero thing. Now Blade just let everyone know Blade is back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So there is speculations they're gonna be doing a revamp with Blade and bringing him into this world again, and that's exciting because Spider-Man is back in the cinematic universe, and let me tell you people here right off the bat that Blade and Spider-Man universe coincide a lot with a villain called Morbius that Spider-Man fights in Blade, and it's a whole long thing, so check it out. Blade and Spider-Man do coincide a lot. So I'm very excited that he's in that universe. Also, Daredevil is back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and Daredevil, if no one has seen the trailer for it yet, the straight-to-Netflix Marvel TV series that Marvel Cinematic Universe did with Netflix, that looks amazing. And actually, the exciting part here is we don't have to wait for episode 1, 2, and 3, every week to see the episode. April 12th, don't quote me on it if I remember correctly, that will be released on Netflix, and the whole season will be there. So you can actually binge-watch Daredevil season 1. On Netflix, and Marvel's really pushing the envelope now, and I hate to say this, but DC, you know, back in the 80s and the 70s, DC was like the top dogs. They were like, you had Christopher Reeve flying, you know, you had, and all of a sudden Tim Burton comes in with this Batman, and everyone's like, oh, Batman, well, where did he come from? And then you had, you know, Marvel was like sitting there having some dudders, you know, they had some dudders. Did a Captain America movie in the 80s, and let's not even go there. And they tried to do a Fantastic Four, and that went nowhere. So Marvel was trying to be the top contender in the silver screen universe, and they couldn't. And then Spider-Man came out. Now, let me tell you people here, for those now, Don and I are Spider-Man fans. Is it safe to say fanatics? Is it safe to say that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We're fanatics, okay? Now, Spider-Man, now let me backtrack. For many years, for over 10 years, they were trying to make Spider-Man, they were trying to make a Spider-Man movie back in the 80s. And they were trying, from the 80s on, they were trying to bring Spider-Man to the silver screen. But they went through so many scripts. I think they went like 10, 12 scripts. And it just wasn't right. So Sam Raimi came on board and wrote it and brought it to life. And honestly, I'll tell you, to this day, my favorite Spider-Man movie of all times, and people can bash me all my life, but I think it was amazingly written. I was very excited. And to this day, I watch it over and over again. Was Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock. And Alfred Molina playing Doc Ock, you couldn't get any other actor to play him on point than Alfred Molina. And he brought Doc Ock to life, and the action sequence were off, especially when the fighting on the train scene was amazing. So
I think you nailed that one. I think you nailed that one, especially the fact that Molina. I mean, Molina is not the kind of guy. He's not the type of actor to do, you know, big budget, superhero movies. He's a a multi-talented. I mean, he's got this huge range and everything, and that was like way outside of his normal wheelhouse. But man, he brought some serious talent to the game. And you're right, there were some breathtaking scenes in that movie.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing was, now everyone can bash on Toby's character, okay? Bash on him all you want, okay? But here's the thing, okay? Toby had the nerdy Parker version, but when he went in the Spider-Man suit, I wasn't watching Tobey Maguire anymore. I was watching Spider-Man fight. So now with Andrew Garfield's character, but also the same token, Spider-Man lacked a charisma to him. They actually gave more of an adult, more Spider-Man. He's more buff. He's more ripped. He's the adult Spider-Man, you know. Now, and not to mention Tobey Maguire was like in his 30s back in high school. It just didn't fit it right. So now they rebooted it and they brought Andrew Garfield. Okay, younger Spider-Man, looking more of the character. Okay, you put him in a Spidey suit. He's lengthy. He played a Spider-Man well. But he didn't play a Peter Parker well. I didn't feel the nerdiness. I didn't feel the depth. I felt like I was watching more of a skater Spider-Man, and that wasn't Spider-Man. Okay?
He was like a hipster Peter Parker or something. It wasn't right.
Yeah, you know, they pulled a little bit from Spider-Man 3, and they tried to blend it in the new reboot. Okay, so so that was okay. Now, did I like Spider-Man 1, the Amazing Spider-Man 1? No, the suit was god-awful. What Spider-Man suit was that? Okay, god-awful. Spider-Man 2, they figured, oh, crap, we got to fix the suit. So they fixed the suit. But the storyline was god-awful. So it was like, all right, what's going on here? Now, you know, now they're fumbling because it didn't actually make a lot of money on Amazing Spider-Man 2. They didn't. It was very bad. So what happened here? Now, we're like, well, Scott, you're going all over the place here. No, I'm going here with something. So let me, before I go into the Sony agreement and all that stuff. So Spider-Man was really the launching platform. Raimi Spider-Man was the launching platform for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, per se. And then while Spider-Man was going on, you had X-Men hit the scene. So all of a sudden, you're seeing this. Now, you can go back and watch the original X-Men and watch the original Spider-Man. You're going to go, oh, my God, this is so campy. What are they doing? All right? Because now we've been introduced actors that bring in a darker sort of side of the Marvel Universe and directors and writers that made these characters have complex emotion. Pretty much what they did is they took the characters from his Marvel feet. Now, people are going to go, oh, wow, you're not really, you know, DC fan? Not really. I'm really not. Because to me, they really don't have such a Batman has more of a complex sort of storyline, but Superman doesn't. You know, Superman is just like the old fashioned, you know, thing. Because even Captain America, they made him have more of a, you know, a storyline to him, more of a complex, a more depth to him. You know, he had a sidekick, Bucky, and all of a sudden it's Bucky died in the middle of World War II. You know, Cap's frozen, coming back to a world that he's not familiar with and becoming this hero, feeling out of place. Yeah, that gives complex. It gives a depth to a character, and Marvel always did that. And I love that Marvel always put Stan Lee always put him. He didn't make a faked up world, not a Metropolis or Gotham. He's like, I'm gonna put these suckers in New York,
right,
or upstate New York, or California. You know, hey, these are actual places. So when it comes now, when it came time to make these worlds come to life, you didn't have to fake it. You know, you didn't have to make, you know, Chicago look like Gotham or Metropolis or Cleveland. No, here it is, New York City. Bam, New York. Bam, California. You know, and that was the cool thing is Stan Lee and Jack Kirby based their characters in the real world and giving us
that
fantasy.
Great,
like,
I think a great example of that, just to jump in there for a second, I think a great example of that is, I mean, there's a lot of imprints and iterations of Spidey when it comes to the comics, but especially if you look at Ultimate, the Ultimate series, Aunt May lived in Queens. They really nailed Queens. I mean,
yeah,
they did such a, you felt like you were in Queens. Anyhow, yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. That's I think it's a big part of it is that it is real. If you don't feel like you're being put into this kind of pseudo world, continue though. We're getting to the money shot here. With Marvel taking over.
Yes. So after we've had this run of Sony, now for those people that have read online and saw the information that the Sony leaked. I'm going to put quotation marks on that because I actually think that was honestly a publicity stunt.
That's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show. Because honestly, guys, if no one knows this, Sony's losing a crap load of money. They haven't put out really any good movies. And now they're going to reboot a Ghostbuster franchise that they should just not even do. So Sony's like, God, we need to make some money in movies because we're not doing it right now. So anyways. So, the old CEO of Sony, they were in talks. Now, Marvel in the email said, Marvel said, gave Sony a really sweet deal. And for those that didn't read it, it went like this. Hey, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to use Scotty-isms on this one, okay? Mind if I go on my
Love
isms?
It.
So, I'm going to paraphrase and use my lingo. So, here's Marvel. Hey, Sony, we know that you need our help, even though they didn't say it that way. You have, really screwed up the Spidey franchise. They didn't say it like that way. We're going to give you a sweet deal to save this franchise. So we need Spidey actually in our movies because we're doing some really groundbreaking Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. We know the fans are begging Spider-Man to come into the universe, and we know that it will boost so much excitement and bring a whole new element and depth to the Marvel Universe. Now, all this is not in an email whatsoever. I'm just using my ism. So now I'm getting to what was in the email. So what we're going to propose to you is you still keep the rights to Spider-Man as well as the merchandising rights as well as the distribution rights. Just let us make the movie.
Seriously, that was the deal?
That was the deal. Let us
Wow.
make the movie, and also let us have Spider-Man in our movies. That was the deal.
Wow.
So
they got merchandising and distribution.
Everything. So you're looking
Wow.
at going like this, this is a sweet deal. Why
Yeah.
say no? So this old CEO was like, no, we're going to just go ahead and spin off and do Sinister Six standalone and all this stuff.
Oh,
right?
My goodness, come on.
Well, the board of directors said, you're dumb as heck. She's no longer the CEO no more. So they brought in a new CEO on, and literally, see, that dropped here into December, beginning of January deal. So now the new CEO's been in office, I think, for like a couple of days or like a week or two, and all of a sudden, the deal has done. The deal is done. And Spidey
now,
is coming
now,
back
now,
just
to interject something here, and I didn't know this until you told me about this a couple of months ago, but the whole deal when Sony had Spidey was that in order to keep control of Spidey, they had to put something out. They had to put a Spidey title out at least once a year, and that
yeah.
probably contributed to the decline in quality because it was just like they were just shuffling to throw something out there so that they could keep the rights to it each year.
They were, and it just had to be something from the Spider-Man franchise. That's where they're going to go Sinister Six. They were even talking about an Aunt May by herself movie, an Uncle Ben by herself movie.
I've heard about that. I love
Gwen
an Uncle
Stacy.
Ben movie.
So they were grasping at straws. Because they knew they couldn't put out another Amazing Spider-Man movie how they did with the other one. Now, I'll tell you this straight up. And people are going to be like, hit me all you want. I don't care. Okay? When I saw that they brought on Mark Webb, no pun intended, that's his last name, Mark Webb to direct a Spider-Man movie, and the last thing he did was 500 Days of Summer,
ooh,
a hippie indie movie that's not even a fan of Spider-Man per se, because they always say, oh, I'm a fan, because they're on it. Bull crap. Okay? Raimi was a true fan. That's why he said he watched his movies. They were the closest to the Spider-Man comic books. They had fighting in the wrestling ring, all that stuff.
Yep.
So, and he went on point with the robber. I mean, Raimi, out of all the Spider-Man movies, Raimi, number one, and number two. Now, people are going to go, oh, well, he didn't get to have the web shooters. Look, guys, did you really care about the web shooters halfway through the freaking movie? No. Did I want to see web shooters? Yes.
That was something I was going to ask you about, though, because and we've got other things to talk about here in terms of the migration from Spidey back to MCU. But do you have as a hardcore Spidey guy, as a guy that's worn the suit? What's your take on those webs? Do you want the shooters, or do you want that to be organic?
You know what? Spidey's always had. See, here's the thing with being a hardcore web shooters become organic, because what happens is there's a story, I think it's called Others or Super Spider, Supreme Spider, or Spider-Man. I forget the comic book. But what happens here is he fights this villain, and this villain pretty much kills him. He's like this super powerful villain, kills him. They Spider-Man's dead, quote unquote.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, they do like a funeral. They do this whole spiel with him. And all of a sudden, these spiders come and pick his body up and make like this cocoon, this human cocoon.
Right.
And he comes, he like hibernates, and he like pretty much he evolves to the max of what he can be. When he comes out of that cocoon, he can shoot webs out of his arms now. He doesn't need to have the web shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has these things, these spidey-like legs that can come out of his back. And then further in the comic books, they make this Iron Man, the Iron Spider. Iron Man makes him the Iron Spider where he can use the web thing. It's cool. And he does it without him before. So there's different versions they're going to go with. So I'm really excited because of Civil War. The Iron Spider is worn in the Civil War comic book. So I wonder if Iron Spider suit from Iron Man is going to, he's going to give it to Spider-Man. Can't wait for Spider-Man.
So as Marvel takes Spidey back over, obviously they're going to reboot and to a certain extent,
well,
and they want to hire somebody really hardcore. Are they going to do shooters, or are they going to do organic?
I don't know. They did state already that they're going to take him back to high school.
Good.
But they're not going to reboot it. They're not going to tell the origin story again, because Marvel said everybody knows the origin story.
Right.
So they're going to tell a whole, like, they're just going to throw him in and it's like, hey, Spidey's here. Everybody knows how Spider-Man became Spider-Man. So now it's like, hey, Spidey's here. Are they going to do web shooters? I don't know. But now there is a couple, they are throwing some names out there. My heart broke a little bit because I think they're going to do a closed cast of this, closed audition. I think they're going to get a recognizable name. They're not going to get an unknown talent. Boo hoo. That's okay. I'll make my film debut movies, keep making my movies grow up in Hollywood, and then say, hey, Marvel, let me make a Spider-Man movie, and then I'll just cast myself. And it will just go like that. So,
that's the way to do it.
I got no problem. I'll just cast myself, you know.
Right.
So, anyways, it'll be brilliant. I'm like, hey, you need to cast somebody. Got it. Been there, done that. You know, I just, you know. And, you know, it's not easy to, I'll tell you, I think I'm terrible as an actor. So I think I'll give myself some issues. You know,
You'll be the first director to fire a casting director for not hiring you.
I don't know. I don't know. I know.
Awesome.
My other version of myself, the acting version, is a little difficult to work with. I might fire my own self as being Spider-Man. I don't know. But anyways, the deal is just because what was happening was when Marvel announced that Captain America was a Civil War movie. Captain America
right.
Civil War, for those that don't know this, you know, that's a very quintessential movie they're doing because this whole, you know, you have actually now seen superheroes fight each other because this whole thing where Iron Man, now for people that know, I'm going to give a little, quick little snippet. In that comic book, Iron Man, it doesn't see the problem registering with the government your identity of who your secret identity and also telling the public who your secret identity is. You know, he said, I've got it. Everyone knows I'm Tony Stark and I'm Iron Man. So he doesn't, so he's all with the government like, hey, it's okay to come out and tell people who you are. You'll be fine. Captain America is saying, no, you can't do that. You have families and these people, you know, now you're jeopardizing people's family's life. You know, these people's, and you can't do that, you know, and we shouldn't register with the government. What's the point? You know, we've done our civil duty. We're American. And he's because he comes from the Nazi world where with the registration of the Jews, he's seen this world where he's seen how this goes. So this big rift goes down the middle where it's called called Civil War. And in Civil War, Captain America has a group of superheroes that his own Avenger squad. And Iron Man has his own Avenger squad and becomes this big fight that goes down and a big rift down the middle. And Spider-Man is a quintessential piece in that. So I'm not going to reveal what side Spider-Man is on, but it's a very big thing. So when they were saying they're making Civil War and they said Spider-Man, the Russo brothers said we're still going to make it without Spider-Man, people were flipping out because Spider-Man is a very big piece of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Spider-Man is now back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they've already announced that Spider-Man will be in the Marvel Cinematic, and Spider-Man will be debuting in Captain America next year, Civil War. So I'm very excited with that, and they've also changed up the lineup for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they have now made it to where Spider-Man Marvel Studios Spider-Man movie will be coming out in, I think it's May 2017.
I can't wait. That's too long.
So, it is too long. But we at least get a tease of Spider-Man next year. So,
yeah.
Now, there also is rumor and speculation. It's rumor that supposedly Spider-Man will have a cameo or something or an ending clip in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Well, they can do that now since MCU has gotten control back of the IP.
Now the question will be, can they do it now because May is just a few months away? That's going to be the problem to see is who can they cast and who can they hear. Now that's off the table. Now we're going to go to Trash Talk Tuesday real quick, okay? Well, first off, I'm very excited because, Don, you talked about a very, very we're already at the one-minute mark, but that's okay. Two-minute mark. But we can go over a little bit over. Don, you talked on last BiblioCast about a very significant thing happening inside the world of books and writers. And there's a very quintessential piece that is coming out in July. Can you just tell the audience here for those that...
Yeah,
we'll do
the quick version because we could. I mean, seriously, and me talking about Spider-Man, we can go on for hours. So just real briefly, I mean, in fact, the most recommended novel of the 20th century, and there's been studies on this, has been To Kill a Mockingbird, a beautiful, beautiful book that was written in 1960. It was made into an Oscar-winning film in 1962 with a screenplay by Gordon Foote and an amazing performance by Gregory Peck. And the lady who wrote the book, Harper Lee, has never written anything since because it was such an amazing, she never expected it to be what it was. It was such an amazing thing. It's on like every high school reading list. So anybody that's listening to this either read the book or they cheated on their test in high school. One of the two. And she still, to this day, that was the only thing she's ever written. She's 88 years old. And in royalties, she still makes over $9,000 a day for writing one book that she spent 2 years on. It was just recently found that there is a sequel that is coming out. It's going to be published in July, like you said, by HarperCollins. And It was actually the original book that she was writing for her publishers. And her publishers told her, you know, we're really into this, these flashbacks that you do as young Scout and Atticus Finch and these flashbacks that you do. So she focused on that, wrote that novel. So this manuscript has been sitting there for over 50 years, about 55 years. It was found by her attorney recently, and it's going to be published in July. It's going to be this is the biggest news in the publishing industry in, I would like to say, the century, at least the last 50 years. And now, you know, it's probably, even though it hasn't been even published yet, it's probably already been optioned for film. So it's just a matter of who's gonna get their hands on that thing, you know?
Please not Sony.
Not Sony. Anybody but Sony.
So
I could see it as like a Magnolia Pictures, you know, not necessarily indie, you know, throw some money in there, but get a good screenwriter to adapt it, because Harper won't do it.
You know who's going to grab it. I'll tell you who's going to grab it.
Who?
Universal Studios will grab it.
I would be.
Because they're the ones that, did The Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah,
so
I would be cool with that.
Probably, they're going to grab it.
And they can bring in the talent to do it. I mean.
Absolutely. And they got to do
it.
Lord,
you think about you know what? Yeah, they really should. And these days, it's like it's become okay to do that again. But, you know, they need a really good screenwriter, because Harper Lee is not going to do it. She's in declining health. She's like 88 years old. She lives in an assisted living home in Alabama. But, you know, she's not going to do any publicity for the book or anything like that.
No.
And you know, she didn't even do the screenplay on the original film. So I don't see her as doing it. So we need to bring in a really good writer, and then somebody that a director with a really good vision. And there's a lot out there.
There is a lot of people out there that can do this thing.
The book,
now,
by the way, is called Ghost at a Watchman.
Yes. You need to check that out. Support this lady. She's already multimillionaire, but support her more, because the book of Kill a Mockingbird was amazing. So I can't wait for the sequel. And you can listen to all this. Now, for all those that don't know, this is part of the business, Inside the Movies and More, part of the Vism Radio Network. And you can listen to Don's full podcast of a Biblio Circus cast under our projects. Click his little link there, and you can listen to all the information on this sequel coming out from A Kill a Mockingbird. Also, talking about books here, I know we ran over a little bit of time, but I just got to say it real quick. And this is my last, because we didn't do really trash it talk. It's more of a thing. But I'm going to trash.
It became a Spidey show. That's fine with me.
It became a Spidey show. So I'm going to real quick here. There's a movie that just is coming out here called 50 Shades of Crap. Actually called 50 Shades of Grey. I'm so glad that it's getting bad reviews. And I know a lot of people that are established authors and writers that are have very good intellect and insight hate this book as well, because, yes, it was a book. Now, for all those out there, if you really want to do some damage to this film, you need to support another film coming out called Old Fashioned. Now, I'm from Orlando, Florida, and the producers are actually from Orlando, Florida, from Apopka. Out of all places. Actually, that's where I'm from, Apopka. And they are doing this whole thing. It's a really awesome indie film called Old Fashioned. It's actually hitting select theaters. And definitely support that and put your money in that and see a really good. We want to see a nice romance because of Valentine's Day. That's a really good, awesome picture. And don't spend your money and waste your money on Dominatrix softcore porn on the silver screen. So anyways, yeah, that's real quick on that. What do you think about the 50 Shades of Grey, Don?
It's porn without pictures. Who needs that?
Garbage.
No.
It's pure
garbage.
I
don't know. I have no thoughts on it. I refuse to read it. I refuse to even talk about it, Scott. That's my answer. I have no answer.
That's how you are. We refuse to talk about it, but you know what, guys?
Yeah.
You know, it's the Spidey stuff like overshadowed this movie. This is how big this thing, and this is, it's so exciting. Now, for all those also out there, they're saying that possibly Grant Gush, they want to Gush, I can never pronounce the last name right. For all those that don't know who that is, that actor plays the Flash on CW every Tuesday tonight. But he also could be an amazing Spider-Man because he actually does fit the mold of a Spider-Man. But he also plays an amazing Barry Allen as a Flash. So we'll see what happens. There's names running around the table here. I don't know how that would conflate with the contract agreement. He's working with DC and Marvel. I don't know how that's going to happen. But that is, I'll give you my, next time we're on the show here, we're going to give our top five actors we think that could play Spider-Man. Now I mean, including myself. Anyways, maybe I should do a petition. Maybe get enough people to sign this petition for me to be Spider-Man. Who knows? Maybe
let's
we'll
do a petition. We'll get on the Twitter. We'll get on the MySpace.
Yeah,
we'll get on all that stuff. I don't know.
Oh, I gotta Google it when I get home. I gotta find out.
Google MySpace. How many people are Googling MySpace right now? Not many.
Well, Justin Timberlake bought it out. You know?
Yeah.
Oh Lord, MySpace.
Yeah, now it's like back in the day you could start a MySpace page and you could have your own music play whenever they went to your page.
Oh, customized
so
logos.
Like now I'm sure it's like automatically set to just be look in the mirror. Oh, whoa. Oh. Anytime you go to a new MySpace page, I'm sure that's probably pretty much what happens.
But anyway, guys,
top five actors. I'll get five actors together. You get five actors together. Let's do top five for Peter Parker.
Top five. And we're going to bring you some more Trash and Talk Tuesday. You know, I think, Don, I think we're going to move. Officially, we're going to announce it right now. We're going to move Inside the Movies and More on Tuesdays.
I'm up for it. Let's do it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, making a full announcement, Inside the Movies and More is going to be now officially on a Tuesday night at 11. So tune in, and we are going to have some serious fun stuff here. And also, go support your local movie theaters, guys, because,
absolutely,
you know, and in your indie houses and stuff like that, because we definitely appreciate that here, and we love bringing some great content for you guys to watch and see. So once again, this is Scott from Inside the Movies and More with the man, Theo. Also, check out the rest of our shows at VismStudios.com under our projects, and you can check out Charlie Crime Buster. Now, Charlie Crime Buster was going to be on tonight, but we got postponed, so check out Charlie Crime Buster tomorrow at 6 p.m., and he's got some really awesome stuff to keep your family safe, yourself safe, as well as your wallet safe. So check him out. He's the guy to listen to, and you can check him out also under our Vism page. Under Business Studio page under our projects. So once again, this is Scott from Inside the Movies and More and Don Theo. Salutations, everyone. Have a great night and see you at the movies.